This morning's scripturing will come from Matthew 7, verses 1 through 5. Matthew 7, verses 1 through 5. Do not judge so that you will not be judged, for in the way you judge, you will be judged, and by your standard of measure, it will be measured to you. Why do you look at the speck that is in your brother's eye, but do not notice that the log that is in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, and behold, the log is in your own eye? You hypocrite, first take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye.
Morning, everybody. We're in Matthew 7, verse 1. You know, looking at, if you took a survey to the favorite Bible verses, what would you get? Certainly John 3:16 would really come out there. And we all have our favorites. Mine is like Philippians 4, 6, and 7, you know, don't be anxious for nothing, but with everything, with prayer and supplication, make your requests known to God, and the peace of God that surpasses all understanding will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. That's my favorite. But if you would ask a lot of the world, the people in the sinful world, this is their favorite Bible verse. Matthew 7, 1. No, they could not find this. If you asked them, where is that? I heard it, you know, but you have seen this type of thing like that. It's their most favorite one. You're ever having a religious discussion with somebody from the world, and you just start talking about that the Bible kind of condemns these things. This is a sin the Bible condemns, and the Bible condemns this also and that, and tells us all these things that are sinful. And you might just get this response from people. They'll be like, hey, thought you Christians weren't supposed to be judging. Judge not lest ye be judged. You know, you're supposed to be loving everybody, not judging anybody. And, you know, on that, you know, so what are we supposed to do when we're talking to somebody here? You know, Jesus tells us in Matthew 28 to go and make disciples of all, you know, go of all nations in there. And he talked to that one lady that was taken in adultery, that everybody wanted to stone her, and there in John 8. And at the end, you know, he says, go and sin no more to that person and that. But then, and, you know, but then here in Matthew 7, Jesus is saying, don't be judging. Well, how does that work? You know, so what does Jesus actually mean here in Matthew 7? Judge not, lest ye be judged. Is it ever right to be judging? And if so, how are we to judge? Are we to never speak out against sin? You know, and never speak about what's right or what's wrong? You know, that just doesn't seem to make much sense to this thing. You know, how's this all supposed to work? You know, so if we are to judge, and the spoiler alert here for the end of the sermon is, yes, we are to judge. We are to do that. Well, how do we do it in a righteous way that honors God? There's a lot in this passage here that Anthony read here that's going to challenge us to think carefully about what it means to be judging and how to exercise that kind of judgment and what exactly is Jesus prohibiting here in Matthew 7. You know? And in the big part of this whole lesson is when we're talking to judging, it's like, how does it affect me when I'm judging? What am I supposed to be getting out of this judging process? So to do that, when we're talking about this particular subject, or really any particular subject, we got to look at the whole Word of God to get these answers. So many, again, I'll tell us many a times, so many people, they misinterpreted Scripture because they look at a verse and they stay in that verse. They won't go out of that verse. It's like they sealed it up, threw it in a cell, and said, it's not getting out, and we're not going to talk about anything else out there. You know, we have to look at what the Bible has to say about judging and exercising judgment, you know. So it's not just judging here we're talking about, but righteous judging is what we're looking for. I'm trying to serve the Lord even when I'm judging things like that. So if we can go over to the book of 1 Corinthians, 1 Corinthians has a lot to say about about judging. It's just full of stuff like that. If we go over to the fifth chapter of 1 Corinthians, you know. So this whole book really calls for judging the whole time there, what Paul talks about. So we're looking at 1 Corinthians 5, and we're looking at verse 11 there, and he says, But now I have written to you not to keep company with anyone named a brother who is sexually immoral or covetous or an idolater or a reviler or a drunkard or an extortioner, not to even eat with such a person there. You know, this whole passage, this whole verse just screams for judgment. You got to make a judgment on this person here and stuff. You know, and then look at verse 12 here of chapter 5 here. Again, he goes, for what have I to do with judging those who are on the outside? Do you not judge those who are on the inside? Judging those on the inside. That's judging people inside. Those are the people in the church, in the congregation. We are to be judging this. You know? So Paul's saying we judge those people that are in the church. Now we go over to chapter 6 here of 1 Corinthians there. Right off the bat in the first verse there of chapter 6. It says, dare any of you, having a matter against another, go to law before the unrighteous and not before the saints? So we have here, and it was going on in Corinth, you know, you had a couple of brothers had an issue, and what did they do? They went to the court system. They went to the pagan Roman court to get the thing settled. And Paul is talking about this is a bad idea. Look at in verse 5. He says, but I say this to your shame. Is it so that there is not a wise man among you, not even one, who will be able to judge between his brethren? He said, hey, there's got to be somebody in the church here that's doing some judging. We need people in the court, in the church, doing judging on this matter. We're embarrassing ourselves. We can't settle it amongst ourselves. We're going to a pagan court to get these things settled there. And then we see there in Ephesians 5:11, you know, it says, have no fellowship with darkness, but expose them. You know, we have to judge what's evil and what's not evil and stuff. So we get into this thing. You see people that only stick to one verse and they don't get out of it. And they refuse to get out of it, and they're just going to hold on to it tightly. The best that you can hope for in that is that the Bible contradicts itself. That's the only solution that we can come out. It's saying one thing, and here's another verse saying it the other way. It's the Bible's just contradicting itself. You know, Jesus is saying one thing, don't judge. Paul's saying another thing. No, we want you to be judging. Okay, we got conflicts here. It just conflicts with itself. It just contradicts itself. Well, let's see other things that Jesus had to say about judging. There, we go to Luke, the seventh chapter. You know, we've seen what Paul has to say about it, but what does Jesus also say about this? We got Luke 7, chapter 7 of Luke, and verse 41 here. And there he gives us a real quick parable to this Pharisee named Simon. And he says, there was a certain creditor who had two debtors. One owed 500 denarii, and the other 50. And when they had nothing with which to repay, he freely forgave them both. Now tell me, therefore, which of them will love him more? And Simon answered and said, I suppose the one who forgave the more. And he said to him, you have rightly judged. You notice Jesus didn't say, ha, I caught you, Simon. Should have read Matthew 7. We don't judge. We don't judge in this thing. You know, he didn't say that. He said, you have rightly judged there in that. We go over to Luke, the 12th chapter here. And we see these things. Chapter 12 in verse 54. Chapter 12 of Luke in verse 54. He says, then he also said to the multitudes, whenever you see a cloud rising in out of the west, immediately you say a shower is coming. And so it is. And when you see the south wind blow, you say there will be hot weather. And there it is. Hypocrites, you can discern the face of the sky and of the earth, but how is it you do not discern this time? And in 57, he said, yes, and why even of yourselves do you not judge what is right here? So Jesus is urging judging as well here. So how do we make sense of what Jesus is saying? Is Jesus contradicting himself? In Matthew 7, he says, don't judge, but now he's saying, judge So we have to go back to Matthew 7 here. So what's the key in Matthew 7? So in everything, when we're trying to figure out how to properly interpret Scripture, we got to look at what is known as the context. And what the context is. Now you're going to hear that a lot from a lot of people that get the context wrong. They say you got to look at context, and they get it wrong. But we have to look at this thing. What you know in this series of verses here in Matthew 7 here. So remember, Jesus is not just talking about a bunch of stuff. Throws in Matthew 7:1. Judge not, lest you be judged, and just keeps on going. Has nothing to do with what I'm talking about. It's all connected. You know, sometimes when you're trying to interpret a scripture, you got to look at the verses around the verse that you're really considering it. Sometimes you got to read the whole chapter or the chapters around it. Sometimes you even have to go outside of the book and go into other books, like we just did here, going into 1 Corinthians to get the context in that. And also a big one is to determine who's he talking to. We always look at like that in Genesis 6. He told Noah to build an ark. Are we supposed to go out and build arks? And people say, no, he's talking to Noah. We're not supposed to go out and build an ark, because you get what it says to go out and build an ark. Right? So we know that he's talking to, what he's talking to Noah doesn't count to talking to me on a lot of things there and stuff. So if we are allowed to reply to Matthew 7 when we're talking to somebody, because sometimes people do this, what I call drive-by Bible studies. You know, you're talking about salvation, they'll say, hey, what about the thief on the cross? And then they actually walk away. And I'm going, wait, I have an answer, but they're gone. You know, it's almost like you're standing on the corner talking to somebody and they drive up with their car. Hey, what about the thief on the cross? And they peel off before you can say anything. And they're like, there's an answer to this, you know, so they have that thing. So the question we should always be asking, when somebody brings up, judge not lest ye be judged, is, hey, do you know the context of what Jesus is speaking about here? You know, so Jesus didn't just throw this verse in here and drive away and stuff on that. So Jesus is saying that there is a certain type of judging that needs to be stopped. And it's harsh judging there. Look there in Matthew 7 and verse 2 here. He said, for what judgment you judge, you will be judged. And with what the measure you use, it will be measured back to you. With what judgment? And you're going to get the same kind of judgment. You're going to get the same kind of measure that you're dealing out to anybody. It's kind of like the golden rule. Here in Matthew 7, you go down to verse 12 there. It says, therefore, whatever you want men to do to you, do also to them. For this is the law and the prophets. How do you want to be treated? How would I want to be treated when I'm getting judged at? So when I'm called to do some judging, I got to be careful about the measure of judging that I use. And that's the reason why Jesus goes here in verse 2 about the measure. And then he goes into verses 3 through 5 talking about the stick. I'm trying to take a speck out of somebody's eye while I got this stick stuck in my eye. And how humorous that would look like. You imagine going to some eye doctor, and he's got this 6-inch stick out of his head. He's going, come on, let me get up close, and he's poking you in the face when you're trying to work on it. That's just this humorous thing. If you saw that, you'd say, you need to see somebody really a lot more than just the eye doctor here on this thing. So that's what this says. It's just this humorous description here. Then he points out in verse 5 that we're being hypocritical in our judging. So being a hypocrite is not righteous judging. So I don't want to be merciless, and I don't want to be mean, and I don't want to be harsh when I'm judging. And also, I don't want to be judging people when I'm doing the exact same thing they are doing. You know, it's like I'll judge the shoplifter while I'm cheating on my taxes and all that stuff. So, you know, I'm making calls like that. You know, so we're looking at that. So another place to talk at judging is in the book of Romans there. Let's go over to Romans, the 14th chapter. And we see this thing. They were having that trouble too. They were judging one another. Romans 14, and looking at verse 1 of Romans 14 there. He says, receive one who is weak in the faith, but not to disputes over doubtful things. For one believes he may eat all things, but he who is weak eats only vegetables. Let not him who eats despise him who does not eat. And let not him who does not eat judge him who eats, for God has received him. Paul doesn't want this kind of judging either. You're judging somebody that God has received. You know, this judgment that we're making is not about something that's sinful. It's something that's not aren't sins. It's about a matter of customs there. That, you know, people judging stuff because this is not the way I was raised to do it this way. This is not the way that we did these kind of things. And we're making a judgment call on people that are doing things differently. I've kind of heard that a lot of times this adage is there's no right ways or wrong ways. There's just different ways. So we got to be careful with that when we think the way we did it, like here in this congregation, is the absolute correct way, and no, you can't do it anything different, and you go to another congregation, and they're doing things a little bit different. Maybe they start the service at 10 o'clock instead of 10:30, and oh, wait a minute, there's got to be something in here about that, you know, time zones and that. But we have had people actually do that. No, you can't do it this way on this thing. So, because we thought that's what the custom was. This is how I was raised. This is the way we've always done it. It's not a matter about right or wrong, and it's not a matter of sin. It's just a matter of our conscience and our scruples there. And it's not about what the Bible says. And you can see that a lot of times when you say, let's have a Bible discussion about it, and they kind of, you know, whether you can have a kitchen in your church building, and you watch, where's the Bible here? So we're kind of dropping that away, and we're not mentioning that, but it just looks bad and stuff, things like that. So that is not about Bible here. This was not about what the Bible says. And this verse is here in chapter 14. This was about diet. It was about diet. Jewish people didn't eat unclean food. And now they're going to go to a brother's house who's a Gentile, and he's going to serve them unclean food. Well, what do you do? What do both sides do in a case like this here and stuff? So Paul is saying, you got to leave that kind of judging alone. You don't be judging each other on this. And you don't cause another person by your judgment to violate their conscience there. We see it there in chapter 14 in verse 23 at the end of the chapter. It says, but he who doubts is condemned if he eats, because he does not eat from faith, for whatever is not from faith is sin. So you have the Gentile brother knows that the Jewish brother doesn't eat unclean foods, or what he knows what the unclean foods were. Still got that association. Well, I know that he's allowed to eat them, so I'm going to serve these things. I'm judging this to force this person to do this thing. So you're violating that person's conscience too there. So rather, in verse 13 here of chapter 14, we see the solution here. It says, therefore, let us not judge one another anymore, but rather resolve this, not to put a stumbling block or cause to fall in our brother's way. So we're going to judge people. We're not going to cause them to fall. We're not going to mess them up there and that stuff. So we have to be careful. So Paul is forbidding judging on non-essentials. We don't judge on things that God has not spoken about, that God is just indifferent to. So we have the today things like the brother. What kind of translation of the Bible do you use? You shouldn't be doing that. I don't know. You know, we're going to argue about that. Whether or not you can celebrate Christmas, no judging on that. Whether somebody is or not is a vegan, you know. And so all that kind of thing. So there's no judging involved here. So merciless judging is harsh judging, and that's what Jesus is condemning here. And tell you what, here, even if this judging is about sin, the person is committing sin, and we're going to need to judge them. He says he's talking about this again. We're not being harsh with people in here. We're not pounding somebody down that we realize is committing kind of sin, even if that person is wrong. You know, so if a person is committing sin, it doesn't mean that we get to unload our version of the wrath of God upon them. You know, how would I want to be treated if I'm the one committing a sin? So we see that if we go here to the book of Galatians in chapter 6. In Galatians chapter 6, it just says, brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted there. You know, so you who are spiritual, you consider yourself. Can you just see this in Matthew 7, 1 and 2 written into that, the way Paul has this down here? You know, the measure of judgment, I consider myself lest I, when I become tempted, how do I want people to treat me? When I'm taking that beam out of my eye here on this. Hypocritical judging, you know, I've been down that path before. Instead of yelling at somebody about stuff, we're going like, hey, I've committed sin too, and I know where you're at. Especially if we're interested in unity with our brethren, we're not doing the harsh type of judging. So we're looking at this thing. So instead of this, we're looking at, like in John 7 and verse 24, it says, don't judge according to appearances, but judge with righteous judgment here and stuff. Not by appearance. You know, with the Bible, you know, the Bible commands and Jesus commands judgment, but the commandment is for righteous judging. Judgment there. We're knowing. We're judging so that we, you know, we want to know what's going on. We're judging so that we can do right. We're judging so that others will know what to do for to be right there. So it's living a life with discernment, knowing what decisions the person needs to make, what decisions we need to make. You know, we do a lot of judging in our civil stuff, you know, our secular world too. You do all kinds of judging there. What kind of repair service are you going to use on your car? We have made judgment calls based on our information that we have. Yeah, I'm going to go to this place all the time. I'm not going to go over this one. I drove away with only 3 tires on the car. I said, that's bad. I'm not going to go there anymore. Stuff. What kind of babysitter are you going to hire? You know, what kind of house you're going to buy? All of these things just require judging here. We have to do this thing. And I tell you, the times that I have not judged before I made a decision has really messed me up. I just, let's just do that. Not thinking and judging on that stuff. You know, a lot of my problems, people would go like, Mick, what were you thinking? I said, not judging, man. I wasn't thinking at all. That's the reason I did that stuff, you know. In the book of Proverbs, we don't have to go there, but if you read the book of Proverbs, which I suggest that you do all the daily, it's just full of judging in there. Judging over and over and over again, right thinking, right judging, so we can make right decisions. We're making right decisions about work, how we do things, what kind of friends we should have, how about what kind of spouse we should look for. It's just full of this, making judgment calls and being prepared for that. In Proverbs 31, verse 9, he was talking to the king. He says, open your mouth and judge righteously. You want to judge righteously. So how do we judge righteously then? Well, there's a few things I can give us here. The first one is, to judge righteously, you got to know your Bible. A lot of people don't know their Bible, and then they're making judgment calls based on their own opinions and stuff. You know, what's the Bible have to say on this thing? Right and wrong is not determined by popular opinion. We were talking this one here this morning about slavery. See, people were basing their ideas on slavery, popular opinion. Everybody's, what is it? Half the the Roman Empire was slaves. That's pretty popular then. You know, said, hey, we're going by what people think we should do and stuff. And, you know, but was it according to what God wants us to do and stuff like, you know? So God, we don't want to go by, determine our judging by popular opinion, but by God. God is the standard. God is right. And we got to be on God's side in everything. And any judgments that we make, that is outside of God's judgment is not righteous judgment. It doesn't matter how kind or loving it appears to be. There's a lot of that going on here that people are like, oh, I think we should do this, give this person a break and all that. And I said, man, you're hurting. You're not helping these people. You're hurting them, in fact. But that's what the popular opinion wants us to do in that sense. And the only way we can align ourselves with God is to align ourselves with His Word. You know, Hebrews 5 and verse 14, it says, you know, it talks about the word being solid food. It's for people who have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. So we want to be in the Word if we're going to be doing our judging here and stuff. We want to be in alignment with God. Number two, we got to get out of the motive judging business here. That person, we look at somebody doing some nice things and we're going like, well, the only reason that guy's doing something nice is to be praised by men. I know exactly what he's thinking there. You know, they just show everybody what a great Christian they are. Yeah, I know why that guy wants to preach. He just likes to show off. He's, you know, I just know. It's just, and I know why they say hello to everybody, because they got other motives. And it's all this, I know this and I know that and I know this. And I said, well, do you know what's going on here? Do you really know? How can you know what's in somebody else's heart there? We can't tell that. 1 Corinthians, the 4th chapter, dealing with that. I think that was, again, the people were just all these kind of problems that they had in the church at Corinth there. In 1 Corinthians 4, and in verses 3 and 5, he says, but with me it is a very small thing that I should be judged by you or by a human court. In fact, I do not even judge myself. That was another thing. The people were judging Paul for his writing. They had all his ulterior motives. This is the reason he's preaching and stuff, because he's got all these alternative motives. I know exactly what Paul's thinking there. He says, for I know nothing against myself. Verse 4, yet I am not justified by this, but he who judges me is the Lord. Therefore judge nothing before the time until the Lord comes, who will both bring to light the hidden things of darkness and reveal the counsels of the heart. Then each one's praise will come from God. I do a lot of judging when I drive my car. I have to be very careful with that, because I'm just putting along, going to speed limit, and somebody pulls out in front of me. And all of a sudden I go, that guy doesn't care about me. He just left the house and he says, I don't care. When I see Mick Szabo coming down the road, I'm going to pull out in front of him. I know he's just I'm going like, that guy is such a mean person. I can just tell. I'm going like, I don't know what these people are doing, until one day I'm driving and I just putt out because I'm really busy thinking about something. All of a sudden I pull out in front of somebody. Oh man. You know, that never dawns on me that if I make a mistake, maybe there's a chance that other people make mistakes too. Yeah, quite a bit there. But I've judged off that. I know exactly what they're thinking. I said, no, I don't have, I have no idea. And then I started throwing those kind of things out. Like, well, maybe they're got some problems at the house and they got to get to the house quick. Maybe they got this and that, some kind of thing going on. I said, all of a sudden, my little judging thing starts to drop down. I said, I pat the dash. I'm thankful that I have a car and I don't have to walk. I don't have to ride a horse, and I just move on my way. But we're not judging other people. You know, so look at this thing. If the person is doing things for the wrong reasons, God will judge them on that. He will reveal the counsels of the heart there in verse 5. You know, God doesn't need our help to be judging people on their motives and that type of thing. It's the only judge by what you know there. And then number three here, we got to realize our limitations in things, our position, our way of looking at these things. In 1 Samuel 16, you see that where Samuel is told to go to the house of Jesse. Saul's not doing very good as a king. I want you to go and anoint another king there. And what's Saul or Samuel do? He goes to Jesse's house. Can I have all your sons? And who does he go to first? The biggest and the strongest, the oldest. Surely this guy's going to be the king. And God say, no, that's not the king. And he just goes all the way down. And he says, you got anybody else left? And he said, well, we got David. He's out there tending the sheep, the little kid. And he's going, well, bring him over here. And because he says that the Lord, in 1 Samuel 16, verse 7, that he says, don't look at the appearance. The Lord looks at the heart. There's a lot of things we can't see or know there and stuff. We see that in Matthew chapter 7 and verse 15. It says, beware of the false prophets. You know, they wear sheep's clothing, but inwardly they're ravenous wolves there. That's a judgment that you have to make. Beware of false prophets. How are we going to know that they're false prophets? You know them by their fruits. It's not by their appearances. So we can get somebody up here that looks like he's from Texas. He has a southern accent. He says those kind of right words. And they said, yeah, he's a really good preacher. I can tell. But we have no idea about his heart stuff, or about what kind of fruits he has. You know, now we lucked out. God knows the end from the beginning. He can tell. We have to be a little more observant. We have to watch there. You know, we can't tell. So we got to keep an eye on what kind of fruit are these people bringing out there and stuff. So we just see how the fruit develops so we can make a righteous judgment on that. And then also now, number four, is our judgment has got to be based on love. We go over here to 1 Corinthians, the 13th chapter. 1 Corinthians is a great book on a dysfunctional congregation, all kinds of problems that they have. And we saw the people's solutions that they were trying to come up with. But what Paul says here in chapter 13 is the answer to all of our problems here is going to be love. And that's the important thing. So we're looking at this thing here. You know, we look at this, you know, in love. Love does not mean ridiculing somebody with a soft voice. Some people misunderstand that. You know, I'm not yelling. I'm just telling you you're worthless and stuff. I'm just doing it in a nice, calm manner. No, that is not judging somebody in love there. You consider the measure that you would like to receive there. How would I like to be judged there? I would like to be judged kindly. I would like to be given the benefit of the doubt. I would like you folks to show love when you're judging me. Well, since I want that, then I have to do the exact same thing. So in chapter 13, if we look there in verse 6 of chapter 13 of 1 Corinthians, it says about love. Love does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. So you get that when somebody makes a mistake, and then you got some people going like, all right, time, it's clobbering time here. We get to get our Bibles out and deal with this person and give them what for. He says, we don't rejoice in iniquity. We're not happy when somebody falls and has troubles and stuff on that. No, it says, you look out there in verse 7, it says, it bears all things. Love believes all things, hopes all things, it endures all things. Just, I want to believe that the person, even though they're committing sin, they're not trying to be sin. I want to believe that rather they're trying to please God and they're going through a tough time right now. And that's how I'm going to be helping them on that. Okay, so in conclusion, righteous judgment is commanded. Unrighteous judgment is forbidden. That's what judge not lest ye be judged is talking about here. So for righteous judgment demands that I keep looking to myself while I'm doing this judgment. How would I like to be corrected? How would I like to be thought of? I would like people to be giving me the benefit of a doubt there. And righteous judgment requires us to be in harmony with the Word of God, not passing judgment on things that God has not passed judgment on. There's a lot of things, not right or wrong, they're just different. Leave it at that. Don't be trying to force people to do things the way you do it all the time. And it is possible to get involved into merciless judgment and hypocritical judgment. And that's what Jesus is talking about here in Matthew 7. So we can sin when judging, but with humility and a loving heart, we can just exercise righteous judgment that's going to honor the Lord when we're doing these things. So that's this lesson for this morning. Thank you for your attention there on that. We offer this time for anybody that, in your judgment, needs some help. You want to do this thing. This is the best place time. This is probably really the best time here. We've got everybody here if you need some help on that. Whether you need to be baptized for the remission of sins or whether you're having some tough times and need some prayers, we ask you to come forward. Let us know how we can help you while we'll stand and sing our song of invitation there.